Whenever you study the life of some admirable Christian, inevitably you encounter this amongst the writings. You encounter something about, some discussion about that person's prayer life. Whether you're talking about Martin Luther, who said that he had so much to do, he couldn't get on with his day until he prayed 3 hours. Or Mother Teresa, who said she cannot go but a half hour without stopping to pray because of the intensity of the work that she's doing. Or Charles Spurgeon, who was a 19th century, one of the first megachurch pastors in London before they ever had megachurches. And when they would conduct a worship service, he would have 100 people in the basement of the service on their knees praying while the worship service was going on. And moving forward even to contemporary figures in our day, Gary Haugen, who's the leader of International Justice Mission, we're going to talk about a little bit later this morning. Whenever you look at somebody's life that's admirable, who's a Christian, who's wanting to do great things for the Lord, what you encounter, inevitably, is a rich prayer life, an engaging prayer life. And prayer has always been a part of this church. We've been weaving prayer into the fabric of what we do and how we operate since the beginning. But my sense is right now is that God is taking us to a new level of prayer focus, both individually and corporately in this congregation. We're going to a new plane. And this is part of our year-long theme called Dwelling in the Lord and Dwelling in the City. We're focusing on what it means to dwell more deeply in the Lord and to dwell in the city as God's presence. And part of this is going to be accomplished through increasing our prayer. I'm so excited about what's been going on this past week. We finally kind of nailed down the details of our new prayer team. And we've got about 6-7 people who we have identified as people who have the gift of intercession, who are called to pray regularly. And we've fashioned them into a team. And we are dividing up the days of the week. And the prayer requests that you put in, we've already been praying for them as leadership of this church, but now we're going to begin a more focused time of prayer as this prayer team commits. Each one is committing to a different day of the week, and so we're going to be praying earnestly for all of these throughout the week. And if you want to avail yourself of the benefits of that prayer, all you have to do is go onto our website, and it says, right in the middle, it says, do you need prayer? You just click on that link. You can put in a prayer request, and that will go to all of these members of the prayer team. So we're increasing prayer. We're also doing it with respect to our home groups and how we organize our home group time and leave a special time at the end for prayer. And prayer for one another, but also prayer for the movement of God in this community of faith. That's what we're doing. We're rising to a new plane in terms of our prayer. But prayer is also critical to thriving amidst uncertainty. And that's the series that we've been over the past weeks, looking at what it means to thrive amidst uncertainty. We're definitely in uncertain times. Economically, politically, we're in transition, and all of that trickles into other areas of our lives. And I know that many of us sitting here this morning have felt the intensity or the struggle or the strain of the economic sort of situation that we're in. Last week, you know, Good Friday, the pundits were saying afterwards they were all excited because lots of people had spent money on Good Friday, in fact, more than ever before. And one of the pundits, oh yeah, thank you, Black Friday. I said like 5 things go through my head to say about that, but it was too much. One of the pundits after Black Friday said this about Black Friday because people spent so much money. He said, it's a testament to the resiliency of the American consumer. That we would show up on Black Friday and spend like that. Now, I'm all for free markets and you know, sort of the capitalist system and all that. But if we are relying on this new sort of fashion superhero, the American consumer, for our salvation, then we're in trouble, right? We need something much greater and much bigger than that. And as we talk about prayer this morning, that's what we're going to look at. If you'd open your Bibles to John 16, 24. It's page 751 if you're using the Bible that we hand out at the back. Page 751. This is John 16, 24. We're doing a special thing during this series. We are looking at these verses, but then we're covenanting with one another to memorize the verse afterwards. And so on your way out today, you can pick up a little business card at the back table, and it'll have this verse that we're looking at on it. And here's what we're saying. We're asking you to put that verse in your pocket, and throughout the week, as you are moving from one activity to the next, maybe you're walking from a class or somewhere on your job where you're working, you're taking a break, you're waiting for somebody, pull out this card and look over the verse and memorize it. What we're saying is that this is a way for us to link to the mind of God. When you memorize Scripture, you link yourself to the mind of God. These are the words that He's spoken. And when we're living in uncertain times, it's incredibly important to have the words of God embedded in our minds for those moments when we need them. We've looked through scriptures that talk about hope and faith and praising God. And now we're going to look at this one on prayer. This is John 16:24. And as I've been doing every time I try to say it to you, memorize. So here we go. Until now, John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Did I get it? All right. Good. So if I can do it, you can do it. This week. Let's talk about this verse. This is a powerful verse. There's a lot in here, and I want to unpack it with you a little bit this morning. First of all, I want to talk a bit about a foundational piece regarding this verse. It says this, however we pray, whatever we determine to do in our prayers, it has to be in His name, in Jesus' name is what it talks about. We need to pray in Jesus' name. Now, we talked about this last week. The name is the most comprehensive way to speak about somebody. I could say that they're loving or they're kind, or like I said last week, you know, about my wife, she has a beautiful smile. You know, I could say all these things, but I'm not talking about everything that they are. When I use the person's name, Jody is my wife's name, when I use a person's name, I'm talking about everything that they are. It's the most comprehensive way to talk about a person. So when you're praying in somebody's name, it means this. It means to pray in accord with all that that person stands for, in this case, Jesus Christ. To pray in accord with everything that Jesus Christ stands for, everything that He's done, everything that He's said. It means, in essence, that you're tight with Jesus, right? You and Jesus are close, and out of that closeness, the richness of that relationship, your prayers flow. And so they're in accord, they're in line with what Jesus would want and what He says. In fact, Jesus says this very point, makes this point in a number of different ways. And if you're open to the book of John, you can flip over to 15, verse 7. This is a long discourse in which Jesus is saying goodbye to His disciples, and He's giving them everything that they need to know for the coming days and weeks and months and years and decades and centuries, because we're still feeding off of this text and learning what it means to follow Jesus. And He says this in 15, verse 7 on this topic. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. See, there's that tightness. There's that tightness with Jesus. You're close. Ask, if that's the case, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, that's an incredible statement. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more later. But He also says this in chapter 15, verse 16. Go down a little bit further. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That's very interesting. This concept of asking the Father for things is couched around two qualifications in this verse. First of all, that you have been sent to bear fruit on the one hand, and second of all, that you will ask in Jesus' name. You're appointed to bear fruit and to ask in His name. In other words, the key to a rich prayer life, Jesus is saying, is to get on mission with Jesus Christ. That's the point. The key to a rich prayer life is to get on mission with Jesus. To accept that you've been appointed to bear fruit, that is to do things that honor Jesus Christ, and to structure your life around who He is and what He's about. Now, a lot of us are frustrated and we're discouraged because our prayer life is kind of cool and maybe a little bit distant, and we feel like there's not much going on. There's not a richness and a heat around our prayer life. And for some of us, the reason is because we're not on mission with Jesus Christ. We're not on mission with Jesus Christ. In fact, James talks about it like this in some pretty powerful words in James 4, verse 2 and 3. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. In other words, sometimes we ask out of wrong motives because we're not on mission with Jesus Christ, and it affects our prayer life. And it's not a bad mission that we've been called on. It goes something like this. Jesus has called us to love people, right, so that they find the true source of love, which is Him, Jesus Christ, so they can be healed in their brokenness and can go from living selfish, smallish, non-impacting lives to big, sacrificial, transforming lives that result in real and lasting changes in the world. That's not a bad mission, is it? That's the mission that Jesus is on. That's what He's called us to join Him in being on. And some of us need to stop, and we need to reflect, and we need to get on mission with Jesus Christ. We need to stop living for self and start living for Jesus. We need to stop worrying about certain things, and we need to start worrying about the concerns of Christ. And this doesn't mean necessarily that we all have to quit our jobs and become missionaries to foreign lands or pastors in this land or whatever it is. Oftentimes we continue to do the same things that we would otherwise be doing. It's just that we approach them with a completely different attitude. Not for self, but for Jesus. Asking in Jesus' name simply means getting on mission with Jesus. Gary Haugen tells a story. He wrote a book recently called Just Courage, and I've been really, really enjoying this book. He tells a story in the beginning of this book about a trip when he's 10 years old to Mount Rainier up in Washington. And he's the youngest of numerous brothers, and his father is with them. And they get to the mountain, they hike up to, I guess, partway up is a visitor center. I've never been there. But he says partway up is this visitor, it's called the Paradise Visitor Center. And you can go to the Paradise Visitor Center, and you can hike to that spot and stay there and look at the videos that they have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they make it there, but the brothers and the father decide that they don't want to stop at the Paradise Visitor Center. They want to continue hiking on and enjoy some of the even greater views and even greater adventures that occur further on up the trail. And Gary says, he's age 10, he says, couching it in 10-year-old terms, he says, "Oh, that sounds boring." He just doesn't want to walk, really, is what he said. So he says, "I'm going to stay there in the visitor center." He lets his brothers and his fathers go on. He waits around the visitors. The afternoon wears on, and the tourists are flowing in and out, and it's hot, and it's smelly in there, and the videos are playing, looping over and over again, and it's really not so exciting as he thought it would be as the afternoon wears on. And his brothers come back with his father, and they're excited, they're tired, they're worn out, but their eyes are filled with the glory of having seen wonderful visions up along this path. And Gary says he missed two things in that situation. He missed the adventure that was ahead, and he missed the opportunity to spend some special time with his father because he wanted to hang out in the comfort of the visitor center. And he goes on to make the point that as Christians, that is too often what we do. We hang out in the Paradise Visitor Center where everything is comfortable and easy, and what we miss is the adventure that lies further ahead on the trail as we get on mission with Jesus. What we miss is that special intimacy with our Father that comes when things are really challenging or when you're trying something, attempting big things for God, etc., etc., etc. We choose to hang out in the visitor center. And before we even talk about prayer, we just need to acknowledge this point. If you want a rich and a vibrant prayer life, first you need to get on mission with Jesus Christ. Some of us need to have that conversion. We need to stop living for self and start living for Jesus. We need to stop working for ourselves and working for Jesus. Whatever it is that we're doing, it can be done in Jesus' name. We need to stop serving ourselves. We need to start serving for Jesus. There are all kinds of ways with this congregation, all kinds of needs, where you can even just dip your toe in the water a little bit to begin with and figure out how to serve how to begin to get on mission with Jesus Christ and to advance what he's doing in the world. We need to start sacrificing for Jesus. We need to start befriending people for Jesus, etc., etc. And those of us who have been on mission need to consider this. We need to stay on mission. We need to stay on mission if we want that rich and vibrant prayer life. In uncertain times, it's very tempting to get self-protective, isn't it? In the kind of times that we're facing, you know, with economic crisis and all that, it's very tempting in these moments to become self-protective, to turn inward. And what the world needs more than anything right now is Christians who are focused on mission and willing to sacrifice and love and serve and befriend people, etc., 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 for the cause of Christ. And we need to stay on mission. So that's really foundational. If you want to talk about having a rich prayer life, it needs to grow out of this place of being on mission with Jesus Christ, living in his name, praying in his name, having it all grow out of who he is. But once we get that, and I know none of us are there perfectly, we're all in process here, and maybe you just need to take a few steps this week further to get on mission. But once we get that part at least going in the works, now we can start talking about the other parts of this verse, dealing with how we ask, dealing with asking, and dealing with receiving. To paraphrase Augustine, I would say it like this: love God and pray whatever you want. Now, Augustine said, love God and do whatever you want. But love God, that's the first part, getting on mission with Jesus Christ and pray whatever you want. See, what Jesus says here is not rocket science by any stretch of the imagination. Ask, you know what ask means in the original language? It's really cool. You know what it means? Ask. That's what it means. Ask means ask. Ask means, and Jesus says this over and over again. In fact, he invites this kind of sky's the limit mentality when he's talking to us about our prayers. Listen to some of the verses that have to do with prayer. Matthew 21:22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. This is amazing stuff. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Can you imagine saying that? Jesus said that, not just once, but over and over again. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. John 14:13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And I could go on and on and on. This is amazing stuff, these promises that Jesus has given. He does not encourage a timid approach to prayer at all. He says, come boldly to me and ask for the things and the needs that you have. He invites that. Gary Haugen, in addition to writing this book, Just Courage, like I said earlier, is the founder of the International Justice Mission, which is an organization aimed at combating human slavery all throughout the world. Now, Gary Haugen is a Harvard-educated lawyer, and this is a very professional outfit that he runs. Millions of dollars and people all over the place, all over the world, risking their lives. It's located in Washington, D.C., the central headquarters. They've got lawyers from all the top law schools, etc., etc., etc. And I was so delighted to read how this organization functions. Let me read it to you. This is what Gary Haugen says. At International Justice Mission, we begin every working day with 30 minutes of silence and prayerful preparation for the day. And then we all gather again for prayer at 11 a.m. We don't do this so much, listen to this, I love this. We don't do this so much as a matter of discipline, but out of desperation. We don't think we can do the mission God has called us to or love each other the way we ought to without spiritual resources accessed through prayer. Now, you got to get this straight. These are Harvard-trained lawyers, okay? People who were thriving in the corporate world, in the lawyering world, you know, wonderful, powerful people. And yet, in this company, they basically break to have two prayer revivals before noon every day, because they're so desperate for the help of God in order to be able to accomplish the task and the mission that they're on. They're not hanging around in Paradise Visitor Center. They're moving on up the trail. And even though they're so capable and so skilled, they're attempting big things for God that require them to depend on the power of God. And so they ask. First thing in the morning and 11 o'clock in the morning. The whole place stops and asks God for the strength and the vision and the desire and the discernment and the motivation and the mountain-moving spiritual force of God in the work that they're doing. It's a great testimony. Jesus says, ask. There's a Christian village in Africa, and I really don't know if this is true or not. It was in Our Daily Bread, so I think it is. But it's a great illustration of the point, either way. In this Christian village, they were all kind of, you know, as villages are, they're all kind of together. And then there's these prayer huts that they developed around the village. And each person would have a trail from their hut where they lived to one of the prayer huts. Everybody had their own trail. And if somebody was not going to the prayer hut, what would happen? The grass would start growing on their trail, right? And so they developed this saying. When they saw that happening, they'd say, "Friend, I see the grass is growing on your trail." And it was an immediate indicator to the person that perhaps they need to consider their prayer life. And Jesus says this so powerfully, ask, that I want to ask you this morning, is there grass on your trail? Is there grass on your trail? Or are you wearing down the path to God through prayer? Because he says, ask boldly. Don't be shy. Don't wait. Don't let the grass grow on your trail. Sometimes, you know, it happens like this. You get up in the morning and you're in your favorite seat. And you open your Bible and you think about your day. And you ask. Later on, you're at your desk and you're facing some sort of difficulty in your work. And you're not sure how to overcome it, let alone overcome it in a way that will bring glory and honor to God. And what do? You ask in those moments. Later on the day, you get home and you're sitting around the dinner table. And after you finish up dinner, maybe, you're sitting with whoever's with you at the table. And you ask. You thank God for what he's done. And you look forward to the next day. You're on your knees before you get in your bed. You pause for a moment. You think about what's facing you the next day and you ask. You come to home group during the week and you gather with a few people and you huddle after you've done your Bible study and you ask for one another and for the church. And when you're in those critical moments where it seems like there's just no way for you to move forward in your own strength, you know, maybe you get online and you engage the prayer team of this church and you fill out that form and you ask. Because Jesus said over and over again, ask. And ask boldly. Come to me. I want to hear your requests. And then it says this, ask and you will receive. And this is sort of the last part of this verse. And it's interesting to me that there's no direct object associated with receive here. It says you will receive. It doesn't tell us what you will receive. It says after you receive, then your joy will be complete. But it doesn't tell you what you'll receive here. And I think it's because Jesus wants us to pause and think less about the gift that we're being given and more about the one who gives it, who makes it possible for us to receive in the first place. It turns out that the saying is true. It's not about the gift, it's about the giver. It's good to get something, right? It's really good to get something, but it's great to know that someone cares enough about you to give you the gift that they've given. That oftentimes is more precious than the gift that we've been given. And then when we're talking about God, it's great to get an answer to prayer. But oftentimes what's even more important is to know that our Maker cares about us. And that answer to prayer is simply an emblem of that care and that concern and that desire. And that's where the true joy is in our lives. That's what makes us complete. EJ and I were talking this week, and he made the point about how a lot of people know that God loves them, sort of in a theological way, parroting back the phrase that everybody says frequently and throws around. But oftentimes we sort of doubt that he really likes us, right? We could say God loves us, but does he like us? Does he want to be with us? Does he want to engage with us in the daily, you know, to-ing and fro-ing of our lives? And this is where the joy comes in. When we ask and when we receive. See, it's not about the gift. We weren't made to receive gifts, ultimately. We were made to be in relationship with our Maker. And when we receive a gift from Him, what that says to us by Him is, I like you. I want to be engaged in the little details of your life. I care about what's going on. We're not made for the gift, first of all. We're made for the relationship that it signifies. And that is where our sense of true joy is. That's why Jesus says your joy will be complete. Because you will have deep in the deepest recesses of your soul a sense that this Maker, who seems so distant, is actually not so distant after all. He loves me. He's close. He wants to be involved in my life. And look, He's given to me as an emblem of His relationship with me. C.S. Lewis says it kind of like this. In The Weight of Glory, he says, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. There's that word joy. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. I think what he's saying is something like this. If you want to spend your life making mud pies, then don't get on mission with Jesus. And don't pray. But if you want something more, get on mission. Stop living for self. Start living for Jesus. And in the rough and tumble of working that out, pray. And pray boldly. And pray for everything. And engage your brothers and sisters in prayer. And pray with faith. And pray. We're going to take a minute and pray together. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you would. And I'm imagining that we are at different points in this process. Some of us have come to that place where, you know, perhaps our walk with Jesus has been fresh at one point in our lives, and out of the goodness and the grace of God, He bore with us through the beginning stages of our Christian faith, and you know, we weren't really living for Him, but He was blessing us anyway. And maybe we're at that place where that sort of has been turned off a little bit. Because God's calling us to a new level in our walk with Him. A new level of sacrifice, a new level of service, a new level of prioritizing the mission of Christ in our lives. And if that's you this morning as you're sitting here, the prayer is very simple to initiate this process. Simply say this in your heart with me. Say, Jesus, I want to live for You. I'm tired of living for myself. I want to live for You. I want Your vision and Your mission to be my vision and my mission. I want to love people who are unlovable so that they see you in me and are drawn to you. I want to make the sacrifices necessary to help those around me, that they might see you and grow in you. I don't want to hang out in the visitor center anymore and watch the looping video go round and round and round. I want to strike out for the high ground. And I'm willing to make some sacrifices. I'm willing to endure the pain and the struggle that it'll be. If that's you this morning and you're sort of praying that prayer, I want to encourage you to covenant in your heart to take a step this week. We have lots of ways to get you involved, even in small ways, in the ministry of this church. To get in the game, as it were, to participate in what Jesus is doing. And maybe he's put something on your heart that's other than that, whatever it is. Covenant in your heart right now to take a step this week. To get in the game and to get on mission with Jesus. Some of us are sitting here this morning and we are realizing that our prayer life has been far too timid. It does not match the words of Jesus as he says over and over again, "Come boldly to me and ask. Get on mission and pray what you want." For those of us in that place this morning, the prayer is for boldness. Lord, give us boldness, we ask. Oftentimes, it is our lack of faith that holds us back. And some of us sitting here this morning are like that father that Jesus talks about who cries out, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." We have a measure of belief, but we need that belief to be increased, to grow. That's a prayer request Jesus loves to hear. And together this morning, we say that. Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to pray more boldly. I want to ask for all the parts of my life as I give my life to you to serve you. Some of us have been seeking to find our joy in the gifts of this world. Good things, oftentimes, that are part of God's good creation, but not the best thing. Our hearts are unsettled until they rest in our Heavenly Father. The greatest joy any human can experience, and we're hardwired this way, the greatest joy any of us can know is a restored relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ. To be in communion with our Maker. Some of us need to repent this morning of setting our sights on lesser things. It's not that our desires are too big, it's that they're too small. And they're oriented in the wrong way. So this morning, Lord, we come to you as a congregation and we covenant again that we intend to place our greatest joy on the relationship that you have made available to us with you. All else is rubbish in comparison to knowing you, to walking with you, to being on that path with our Father, enjoying the give and take. Lord, we think this morning of the potential of a congregation fully committed to your mission. A congregation bold to ask, in a congregation whose deepest joy is in knowing you. So we pray you would continue to take us in that direction for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.